I mentioned the first night that during the worship service, the Lord began a little download in me, a little teaching to do with the offering exhortation. You know, my thought was, I'm worshiping you right now. This is the time you take to teach me something. But how many of you knows he's Lord and we are not? You can't control that. So I'm going to go ahead and share this with you. Now, I'm going to have you turn to a very scary passage. Very scary. Be turning to Acts chapter 5. Yes, that is Ananias and Sapphira. I'm going to show you something. Now, while you're turning there, I'm going to read two other passages. I don't want to take up a lot of time. I want to hear what the Lord has given Bronk tonight. But one of the reasons that I love who the Lord has placed me with, my pastor, Dave Roberson, men like Jim Martin and Kathy and Bronk and Candy and others that we know, Alan Taylor and others that are involved in this, John, Jim, others that really have the heart of God. They're not servants of money. They serve God. But you have to be careful. Have y'all noticed there's some out there? Well, let me just read scripture instead of that. We're going to get to Acts 5 in a moment. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, says this. There were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even evil spoken of. Now notice this verse in particular. And through covetousness. Do y'all understand covetousness? The word means literally lovers of silver. So through covetousness shall they with feigned words, if you look that up, the modern word would be plastic. Not sincere. With plastic words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Another passage on the same subject, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Paul is writing and he says, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Now notice that. We have renounced that. We are not going to handle the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Let me see if I can do this modern thing. I did it. Okay. I'm using this. Come on. I'm going to be 70 in January. Come on. I'm doing good here. Hallelujah. So I'm at Acts 5 like you. Now, for example, most of you know the story of Ananias and Sapphira, and I'm not going to teach at length on that, but I'm going to show you a principle. First, I'm going to show how it's done plastic and how it's done to make merchandise of the sheep. I was in a service one time. If I told you who the minister was, and it's not one of our circle at all, it's a very famous worldwide thing. That's all I'm going to say. And they read this passage. So let's just read it. It's not very scary. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it. And they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. I bet it did. I bet it did. Now, in this particular service, he read that passage, and here's how he, in my opinion, handled the word of God deceitfully. Because he said it like this. He said, in all the word of God, in all the New Testament, the only time I find where God sent instant judgment and struck believers dead was concerning their offering. You better be careful what you give tonight. Some of you are going to have to maximize your credit cards in order to appease this God. And I mean, he just went on and on. He was an Yeah, if I told you the name, you'd be shocked. But it wasn't that speaker. It was really his brother. But he was letting his brother do the offering. And, oh my God, you know, it scares you half to death. Here's another one. Just one other one. Y'all remember Cornelius? We're not going to turn there. You know the story of Cornelius, who was really not a Jew. He was a Roman centurion. But he loved God. And he would give all the time. He would help the poor. He even built a couple of synagogues, I think, for them. And he would fast and pray. And this man doesn't even have a covenant with God. But there's a sentence in there in that story that says his giving came up as a memorial before God. Boy, boy, with craftiness, here they come. There was a different offering. It says, did you notice that Cornelius got God's attention? Did you notice that his giving came up as a memorial before God? Now, I'm not lying. I'm not making this up. He said, some of you have sick children at home. You've been asking God for his power to deliver them. And God doesn't even know what you're doing because you're holding back from what belongs to God. See, that kind of stuff, that's exactly what Peter is talking about. I fear for those people. Hopefully they're doing it in ignorance. Maybe they were taught that from somebody before them. But if they're doing it and knowing that they're doing it, they're in big trouble. They're in real big trouble. So, getting back to this. Now, what happened here is we were worshiping the other day, and I was just worshiping. I wasn't expecting God to start talking. He started talking to me out of that Ananias and Sapphira story. But I want you to notice the difference when it's the Spirit of God. Are you still there? Acts chapter 5. Look at verse 4. Peter's talking to him and he says, while it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? The way God looks at your possessions is the same way I look at my granddaughter Lily's possessions. She has what she has because we gave it to her. Now, she may have been a good girl, she may have done her homework, she may have done all that, but still, ultimately, if she has something, me and Sue or her parents provided it. Now, one day, for my little granddaughter, I provided for her not one, not two, but three successive ice cream cones. Why? Because she asked me. On the third one, so Papa goes to the freezer, gets the ice cream thing out, gets a cone, takes the cone out, just packs it in there, gets all on there I possibly can, you know. This is the third one, and I give it to her, and I'm watching her enjoy that cone. See, now that's her possession, and it's in her power. Whatever she wants to do with it, I'm just enjoying her enjoying it. But at one point, she notices me, and she's seeing me watching her eat the cone. Now, she was a lot smaller then, and she couldn't say her L's at all. And she saw me, and she's about halfway down that cone, you know. And she just did this, just out on her own. Papa, would you yike a yittle yick? Would you like a little lick? She didn't have to do that. It was in her power. That was her ice cream cone. It didn't matter that I gave it to her. But boy, the fact that she would want to share that with me. Half my kingdom. What do you want, a pony? What do you want? See, nobody hardly ever brings out that truth from Ananias and Sapphira. They didn't die because they gave the land or didn't give the land. They didn't die because they sold the possession or didn't sell the possession. The whole thing was a matter of the heart. And I'm telling you right now, I so enjoyed listening to L.A. this morning. I have walked that same path. Alan had to walk that same path. I don't know anybody who's really sold out to God that hasn't had to make that same journey, you know. And nobody can make it for you. Nobody. You have to tear down that stronghold. You have to walk with the Holy Ghost yourself, you know. But I so enjoyed that. I've walked that same path. Yes, sir. He reminded me, I got another scripture here. He's way smarter than I am. Now, hang on just a minute. I will figure this out. Okay. Now, quickly. Man, 5 minutes, I promise. 5 minutes. Okay. I want to show you a progression. See, everybody starts out there. The Lord blesses you. He loves you. You're his child. Just like I love that with, you know, I want Lily to enjoy the cone. I gave it to her. It's her possession. It's in her power. See, that's fine. But what you're going to find, if you really start spending time in the Holy Ghost, you know what the Holy Ghost, his purpose is to conform us to the very image of Christ. As we behold in a glass, in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what happens, you may start off like a little lily. Oh, I love my cone, thank you. I have my ice cream cone. I might share a little bit with you, but this is my cone. Yeah, we start off there. But see, if you're going to spend time really with the Holy Ghost, he's going to start working on your heart to conform it to the very same motivations that are in Jesus' heart. Isn't that right? Well, here's a few scriptures. We're not going to take time to look at all of these. John 5:30 in the King James. This is the heart of Jesus. He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. In the Amplified, it's even stronger. The Amplified does exactly that. It brings out all the nuances of the Greek that we don't really get always in a word-for-word translation. So in the Amplified, it says, I am able to do nothing from myself independently of my own accord, but only as I am taught by God and as I get his orders. Even as I hear, I judge. I decide as I am bidden to decide. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment is right, just, and righteous. Now get this. Because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. Now, if you like to meditate the Word of God, there is a wonderful passage that begins in Luke 15:1. And it's really one image all the way through Luke 17:10. It starts off with Jesus out amongst the sinners, seeking and saving the lost. Made the Pharisees mad. They couldn't understand why he would do this. But see, Jesus, his whole life, he was a steward of the life that the Father had given him. He had surrendered his own right to live his own life. I don't even consult my own will anymore. I only am interested in the will of the Father, see. What happens, you go from an owner, which God is fine with you. You got your stuff, you can do with it, it's yours. You can keep it, not give it. You can do whatever you want with it. But what happens if you start really pursuing, allowing the Holy Spirit to conform you, you're going to find your heart going from an owner to a steward. And it will happen or you'll stop praying. Because that's the purpose of the Holy Ghost, is to conform you where you get to the place you don't even consult your own will. It's not a matter of how much money will I give. Lord, it's how much do you want me to keep? How much do you want me to live on?
Alan Taylor told this recently. I've had these same kind of discussions with businessmen. This man is a Christian businessman, and he wants to be one of those kingdom stewards, you know. So he was asking Alan, he says, I've had this idea, and yeah, I want to give several thousand dollars into this venture. Do you think I should do that? And Alan gave the perfect answer. He said, I've done this same thing before. He said, well, you're not asking the right question. What? Well, you're asking the question as if it's up to you. But if you're going to be his steward, if you're going to be his steward, it's really not up to you. Now, during that process, you're going to find Paul saying things, let every man give according to what he purposes in his own heart. But that purpose is going to change. You're going to find it changes from an ownership, and I'm going to give a little bit to God. But over the long haul, I own nothing. What would you like to have me give in this offering? I'll show you one more. I do turn to this one. Two more minutes. It's dangerous. What do you think, giving me a microphone? What do you think is going to happen? This is short to me. This is short. Luke 16. This is right in the middle of that passage that I told you about. That whole passage, Luke 15:1 through Luke 17:10, the whole thing is about stewarding your life for the kingdom. Not just finances, your whole life. And you'll find, if you'll keep that in mind, everything in there will start coming alive. It'll make sense to you. Okay. Now, Jesus is talking about stewardship. And starting in Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful, now as a steward, in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now this is the verse. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Who does your money belong to? Is it yours? If you're young like Lily, young in the Lord, yeah. You're free to do with it whatever you want. But I'm warning you now. You keep praying, keep fasting, keep meditating the word, and all that you have is going to become another man's. It's going to become another man's. And you're going to become his steward. And it'll get to the place you don't even consult your own will. Just, Lord, what would you have me give? It's your money anyway. So I only know two ways, according to the New Testament, to give into any offering. Number one, because everybody's on different points along that journey, see? It's not my job to tell you what to give. So the first way is to let every man purpose in his own heart what you'd like to give. Wherever you are on that journey, from owner to steward, wherever you find in your heart, give that. And God will receive it just like I received the yito yik. But he wants it from your heart. See, that's the key. He wants it from your heart. Lily was under no command to give Papa a lick of ice cream. But it came from her heart, and for me, that meant the world. Same thing with God. Whatever you do give, give it from your heart. Give him a yito yik.